This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taste of the national anthem to get the 7 o'clock hour of the show started this morning. Hey, Aaron Flint, great to be with you on this Monday. Yeah, that was a tennis match of all places. The national anthem and then those cheers that you heard. That's when President Trump's face showed up on the Jumbotron and even a bunch of folks at a tennis match. I figured a tennis match might be a little too bougie for a pro-Trump crowd, but even at the tennis match, cheers erupted in support of President Donald J. Trump. Yeah, you wouldn't know that if you were reading the fake news media pool reports from the tennis match. But there you go. All right, great to be with you here on this Monday. Let's get back to business. We've got Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal with us here every Monday in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. Evelyn, great to have you. What's the good news here on this Monday morning?
Well, I know you mentioned this last week, but I think it's worth underscoring as a really significant event for Montana. A coalition of organizations submitted a petition to the Public Service Commission asking that they take the conclusions of the Held versus Montana court ruling into consideration as they make decisions in regulating the energy sector of our state, and the Public Service Commission said no. The Held versus Montana decision declared that the state's constitutionally created right to a clean and healthful environment supersedes the citizens' right to affordable and sustainable energy and economic substance. One can hardly imagine what a mess of our energy future we would be facing had they agreed to base their future decisions about energy development on that court decision, which is very anti-energy and anti-economic growth in the state. They wanted the PSC to consider the adverse climate impacts of greenhouse gas emissions on the future development of our energy supplies, as well as on the social, economic, and environmental costs of different energy sources, or the social costs of greenhouse gases, as has been declared by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. But the PSC said that was not their role, determining those issues of rulemaking. They said rests with the judicial and the legislative branch and not with an executive branch agency such as the Public Service Commission. So, and it should be noted that members of the Public Service Commission predicted that their decision is probably going to lead to another court case, but
it's important they did it. Yeah, it's important they made this move on a couple of different fronts, as Evelyn just pointed out right there. All right, Evelyn, look forward to getting your thoughts on this particular decision, unanimous decision by the PSC. We'll start right back there, right after this.
Fox Sports Update.
32 yards, Freeder, and the Bills open their final season in this stadium with a stunning comeback win.
The latest lesson for sports fans: if you leave the game early, you might regret it. On NBC last night, the Bills trailed the Ravens 40-25 with under 4 minutes to go in Orchard Park, New York, when Buffalo quarterback Josh Allen threw a 10-yard touchdown pass to Keon Coleman to get the score to 40-32. Then Buffalo forced a fumble, and with a minute 58 on the clock, Josh Allen got his second rushing touchdown of the game. Buffalo tried to tie the score in a two-point conversion but missed. Then the Ravens got the ball back. Baltimore had to punt. The Bills then went on a 9-play, 66-yard drive that ended with Matt Prater's 32-yard game-winning field goal. Bills 41, Ravens 40. Allen threw for 340 yards, two TD passes, and two touchdown runs. 41-year-old four-time league MVP Aaron Rodgers led the Steelers to a 34-32 win over his former team, the Jets, Sunday in New Jersey. Rodgers threw for 244 yards, four touchdown passes, and no interceptions. He was asked what it meant to show Jets head coach Aaron Glenn what he could still do.
Is there significance in that, since he basically told you to your face that you didn't think you were right for that team?
Yes, that's what he did.
So there's significance in beating him for you?
I was happy to meet everybody associated with the Jets.
Aaron Rodgers after his first win as Steelers quarterback. Russell Wilson unimpressed Giants coach Brian Daboll to the degree Daboll is not naming Wilson yet his starter for week 2 against the Cowboys. The Giants lost to the Commanders 21-6. Week 1 wraps up tonight in Chicago. The Bears host the Vikings. Minnesota favored by 2.5 points. Tennis, Carlos Alcaraz will return to the world number one ranking. He won his second U.S. Open Sunday, beat current number one Jannik Sinner in 4 sets for the title. It's Game On with the Fox Sports app, available wherever you download apps. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com. Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. Getting back to business here every Monday morning, unless it's a holiday, of course. And Evelyn, certainly hope you were able to enjoy a well-deserved holiday last week for Labor Day. But yeah, I'm interested in more of your thoughts on what the Montana Public Service Commission did here. First off, I think it's great that just in a 5-0 decision, they dismiss this phony, absurd effort by all of these. Basically, they're radical environmentalists. They're Democrat Party front groups that want climate change, or their view of climate change, inserted into every decision. The PSC regulates our electric utilities. These green groups have already pushed the Green New Deal scam, which has driven up electricity rates 30% across the country in just the last few years alone. But they pushed this, you know, wind and solar so much, and it's unreliable, and it's costing us more money. And at the same time, we need more and more electricity every day. And they want to permanently embed the green scam into every decision at the PSC. So good job by the PSC just straight up rejecting this. But also, just from a legal standpoint, the point they made about the fact that, like, look, we don't have the authority to make the decisions that you're asking us to make. That goes with the elected officials in the legislature, et cetera. Your thoughts, Evelyn?
Well, I think they're totally right. I'm not a person who believes that the Constitution should guarantee things as a right anyhow, because when you impose something as a right, you're saying you're obligated to provide this, but they never mention who's going to provide it. So, you know, while it's a good idea to have a clean and healthful environment, who's going to pay for it? And the Constitution doesn't talk about that, and it's not the place for it to, for that to happen. But at the same time, when they consider an issue like clean and healthful environment, they're not weighing it against the pros and cons of having food on the table in a house that's warm enough to live in, or all the other economic benefits that human beings need, as well as a clean and healthful environment. They never balance it out. And so the argument is always so lopsided, and it kind of assumes that all these other things are going to happen like magic without having energy and the ability to produce the things we need. So it's a complicated, it's avoiding very complicated mess that would have ensnarled the Public Service Commission in every decision they were going to make in the future had they not said no to this. So it's just not their place to debate those things. They're supposed to focus on the development of a power plant, or not to weigh the issues of what's more of a esoteric kind of discussion. They're more practical and down to earth, and they're right. The legislature, and I disagree that the judicial branch, I mean, the legislature is supposed to make these laws, and the judicial branch is not supposed to be making the laws, which of course they are. But
well, and the hypocrisy, you know, of these green groups and these Democrat Party activists. I mean, one of the now adult so-called climate kids that was part of this whole held lawsuit is the kids of Ryan Bussey, who was the Democrat candidate for governor who lost by 20 points last year in that election. And one of their arguments was, well, you know, because he lives in over $1 million house in the Flathead. And one of the arguments of his kids was, well, climate change makes it harder for me to go skiing. It's like, wait a minute, what a bunch of hypocrites. Oh, so it's okay for you to jump in a fossil fuel burning car and go to a ski resort, which also requires fossil fuels to keep the electricity running so that those chairlifts run and everything else. It's okay for you to burn carbon doing what you want to do, but not okay for the rest of us to burn carbon doing what we want to do. Right.
Yeah, and they just think that that energy, it's just going to be there. Those chairlifts are going to go up the mountain, whether you have a power plant to provide the energy or not. I mean, they're thinking like kids, you know, but you don't expect the judges to think like that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then another point that Tom Opry raises in his film, The Real Yellowstone, is, you know, he interviews ranchers who talk about really how their ranch, whether it's a cattle ranch or a bison rancher that he interviewed in the film, is a gigantic carbon sequestration project. If you want to look at it from that standpoint, the relatively small number of cows that are grazing on the larger amount of land, they are preserving that grassland. They are preserving the trees that are on those lands as well. And so when it comes to the amount of carbon that's being consumed by all of the plant life, versus whatever carbon they might claim is coming from the cows. Like, there's far more carbon that is being consumed by the plant life in the open space than is being put out by the cows. But of course, even that whole argument that is what's causing climate change or something is just frankly straight up absurd. But they, you know, they just throw out whatever they want to throw out, and the legacy media runs with it every single time. And then we wonder why electricity prices have skyrocketed 30% across the entire country in just the last 4 years. All right. Speaking of agriculture, I see a headline here in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. Grain growers concerned about import regulations. We'll talk about that and more with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal right after this. Farm and Ranch Report coming right here in a couple of minutes.
It's September 8th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Pediatric Hematology and Oncology Nurse Day. As part of Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, today is particularly special as it acknowledges those healthcare workers who act as caregivers, counselors, and nurturers for what will probably be the most frightening time for many kids and their families. Also on this date, in 1504, Michelangelo's Statue of David is unveiled in Florence, Italy. And in 1966,
space, the final frontier.
Captain Kirk, Mr. Spock, and the rest of the crew of the Starship Enterprise began their 5-year mission to boldly go where no man has gone before as the classic sci-fi series Star Trek debuted on TV. If it's your birthday today, you share it with actor Peter Sellers, born in 1925, and country singer Patsy Cline, born in 1932. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Connie Nielsen, who returns for the action comedy sequel Nobody 2 alongside Bob Odenkirk.
They always, like, let me know from the beginning that they were going to, you know, build this universe. I love what the script was like, and I love what Timo, our director, did with it. And Bob is just a natural, talented writer, and he really writes from his heart and from what he knows.
That's so interesting that you knew going in they were going to expand the universe. So is that a big part of the decision-making too, or you're like, okay, yeah, this is a big commitment, another one?
No, so, I was looking forward to it because, you know, there's just the way he writes this family touches mm-hmm. me. It's the way he reveals, like, the ins and outs of this relationship with his wife. And there's such dignity in the way they both are, like, admit to failure and support each other in being the person that they need to be in order to make this family happy.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
We asked parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
I think my biggest challenge was getting through to him to understand that love is real. And you have goals in mind, you have things that want to happen, and I want to help you get there.
Sometimes people tend to shy away from wanting to adopt teenagers because they feel like they've lost so much, but there's still so much to gain.
Just knowing that there's just that other person that cares and loves me out there, it feels great. And they've done so much for me, and I can only be appreciative every single day for just having them in my life.
I think it's been the best decision because I gained a son, and he's the best son ever. If I was down and out, he'd be there.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to learn more. A message brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
President Trump has signed an order finalizing a trade agreement with Japan that is projected to boost U.S. agricultural exports by $8 billion annually. Japan currently imports about $12.9 billion in U.S. farm goods each year. As part of the deal, Japan will increase U.S. rice purchases by 75% under its minimum access scheme and expand its imports of corn, soybeans, fertilizer, bioethanol, including sustainable aviation fuel and other products. Additionally, Japan committed to investing $550 billion in the U.S. with projects directed by the U.S. government aimed at creating jobs, strengthening manufacturing, and enhancing long-term prosperity. In other news, the North Dakota Department of Environmental Quality is advising the public to avoid parts of the Cannonball River in Hettinger County after a chemical spill last week. The spill, which included 200 gallons of diluted herbicides and approximately 15 gallons of diesel, occurred Wednesday morning when a tractor and sprayer fell into the Cannonball River, roughly a mile west of New England in southwest North Dakota. The Department of Environmental Quality Spill Investigation Program team does not expect any long-term negative impacts from the spill. Approximately 15 gallons of diesel also spilled, causing a light sheen on the water. The river is not a source of drinking water, nor is there any risk of downstream effects, according to state officials. I'm Lane Nordlund.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, thanks to our friend Lane Nordlund for that report. Of course, Lane is also on the team with Russell Nimitz for the Western Ag Network as well. And I did see they had a headline in their Western Ag Network newsletter earlier this morning. Montana Grain Growers Association concerned about new Canadian import regulations, especially when it comes to purchasing both new and used equipment and getting that across the border. So, by the way, Evelyn Pyburn has a story about that in today's Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet as well. First, Evelyn, I got to start with this story, the Yellowstone Art Museum, because we brought it up on the show with David Noble last week. It came up in our spending and taxation conversation with Kendall Cotton with the Frontier Institute. So what ended up happening with the Yellowstone Art Museum and getting their funding reduced by the Yellowstone County Commissioners? Both David and I were surprised that the art museum is getting taxpayer funds in the first place, especially when, you know, the county needs a bigger jail, for example, to house all of the criminals, and especially with a lot of the downtown crime in particular. And so they ended up reducing their funding, right? But apparently the art museum tried to send a bunch of protesters over to the county to harass the commissioners, and that didn't work out too well, huh?
Well, no, the commissioners went ahead and approved the budget as they had proposed it, which, you know, reduces the amount they contributed to YAM. And, the YAM protesters, you know, they made some good points about the importance of art to the community. But at the same time, you know, some of the antics of the people there, I don't know that was much of a good reflection on Yam. But the issue, which I have heard the commissioners talk about in years past, too, was, you know, the Yam is a private nonprofit organization. It is not a public governmental entity. And they had, as their budget gets tighter and tighter, they had looked at that and said, you know, pondered whether or not how much money they should be giving to a private nonprofit like that. But it seems to me that there's the county is facing a tighter and tighter situation as far as money goes, because they have to provide. They're the only one that provides a jail or the system of controlling crime and protecting the community. And those costs, and I don't think anybody doubts this, have escalated astronomically. And there is no levy to pay directly for that. They have to squeeze that out of their budget. And it's just a big issue that they don't just talk about at one meeting at budget time. It's an ongoing discussion at many of the meetings throughout the year, and it has many facets to it, which, you know, the public, a lot of people in the public don't realize. And but, you know, I don't see that the commissioners really, it's their job to provide first and foremost for the protection of the community and to operate the jail, and I think that that's what they have is the number one task.
Yeah, good on them. Good on them. I mean, you got two things going on, as you pointed out. One, you've got people that are seeing property taxes go up. You've got people that are saying, "Hey, public safety needs to be the top priority. We need more jail space." And yet, so good on these county commissioners for looking and saying, "Hey, what are we spending money on that maybe we shouldn't be spending money on?" And for all those people that wanted to go and attack the county commissioners over the art museum funding, well, you had time for that. But have you had time to make fundraising phone calls to raise money for this private, nonprofit museum? It's like if there's so much support out there for it, well, go raise money for it. Why do you have to force other people to pay for it when we've got a jail that needs expansion? I mean, same thing in Flathead County, and, you know, county commissioners there are doing a great job. They actually lowered property taxes, and now they need a bigger jail in Flathead County as well. I think when they go to the taxpayers with a very focused, specific request about how to pay for that jail, I think they're more likely to get a yes from the people because they see responsible stewardship of their taxpayer dollars. Speaking of jails, this is another interesting story in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet here this morning. Speaking of Yellowstone County, the Yellowstone County Sheriff's Department will receive something of a windfall. They were informed that they were due a refund of $592,000. So why is the Yellowstone County Sheriff's Office, vis-a-vis the detention facility, going to be refunded $592,000? Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal will tell us about that here in 60 seconds after this Fox News update. And then she's got another great... So the jail, the Yellowstone County Detention Facility, is getting a refund of $592,000 from a mistaken overcharge for meals since 2022. So apparently an internal audit that the company discovered is what identified this overcharge for meals. So they are refunding that money to Yellowstone County. So that's a good news story there, that the error was caught and will be refunded. You didn't have to wait for a local doge to go after that one. Evelyn, if you've got thoughts on that, yeah, definitely share your thoughts on that. Or if you want to move on, I know you've got a very interesting news story here about Wyoming, Idaho, and Montana. And it's more than just economic freedom that these businesses are seeking.
Yes, Wyoming, Idaho, and Montana were identified as attractive states when it comes to economical and political freedom by an outfit called Schweitzer Engineering Laboratories, which is a global leader in power system protection, automation, and control. And apparently they do this annual survey and of Freedom Index rankings for the states. And while Montana came in 10th in the ranking, Montana was highlighted because it has enacted major tax relief this year. The various income tax changes adopted are expected to save taxpayers more than $750 million over the next 4 years. Montana was also ranked as the best state for business startups this year. It is home to the highest percentage of business startups per 100,000 and the highest rate of survival from 10-year-old startups. So businesses survive in Montana. And in 2021, Montana created the Red Tape Relief Task Force, and it was successfully amended or repealed 25% of the state's regulations, and that was especially impressive to this group. And they predicted that Montana, because of these actions that the state has taken, will likely move up in the future in their rankings if it continues this progress. And much the same was the reason for highlighting Wyoming and Idaho, too. The top five states were South Dakota, Wyoming, Utah, Idaho, and North Dakota. And the poorest performing states were Vermont, New York, Hawaii, California, and Maine. So we are making progress and catching the attention of people in the world, and we'll hopefully, because of this, draw more industry and manufacturing. I should mention that October is manufacturing month.
All right. So, well, Evelyn Pyburn, we always appreciate your insight and your reporting. Thanks so much for joining us. Always great to have you on the show. Yeah, that report's very interesting. It shows that they're attracted to freedom, period.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, a story that Evelyn Pyburn brought up earlier reminded me of a clip that I saw from Sunday Morning Futures on Fox yesterday morning. I think that's where I caught this one anyway. I saw that former Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz was filling in for Maria Bartiromo, and he had Peter Schweitzer on the show. And I just heard Evelyn talk about this Schweitzer engineering firm. Peter Schweitzer, if you, no relation here as far as I know, but Peter Schweitzer, he was the guy who wrote the book about the communist Chinese and how much influence they have in Washington, D.C. And by the way, he didn't just call out the Democrats and Hunter Biden and the Biden crime family. He called out Republican establishment operatives as well in that book. But he was talking with Jason Chaffetz about a couple of different topics. One, now the Trump administration is going after China for all the drugs, the illicit drugs that they're importing into America vis-a-vis the Mexican drug cartels. That's what really was behind a lot of this illicit fentanyl, right? The Chinese would send in the precursors to the drug cartels in Mexico, and then the drug cartels would bring in the deadly illicit fentanyl up north here to America, and they would particularly target the Indian reservations and rural parts of the state in particular because of the higher prices they could get for those pills. In fact, very interesting, on Friday, I went to the Glacier Pachyderm Club meeting in Kalispell, and the Border Patrol agent in charge for the Whitefish Station, Christopher Young, gave a presentation. Man, it was fascinating to hear what he had to say. But I'll talk about that maybe more in the 8, 9 o'clock hours of the show. But he was, one of the things he was saying is actually right now what the cartels are doing is they're actually figuring out how to get more of their meth up into Canada. And so the cartels are actually now also sneaking across the border into Canada from places, you know, south of the border. So that's kind of interesting what the, you know, Liberal government of Canada is apparently allowing or tolerating to a great extent. Thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah, we do have phone lines open for you. I see our phone lines ringing here, 406-294-0970. or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. But the soundbite that I wanted to start with here when it comes to Peter Schweizer and his conversation on Sunday Morning Futures with Jason Chaffetz yesterday, potential RICO charges against George Soros. So, what was it, a couple of weeks ago now, we told you how Bill Gates was pulling back $450 million that he was no longer going to give to Arabella Advisors. $450 million that he was pulling back, that he was going to give to Arabella Advisors. And then all of a sudden, you know, people started to say, hey, connect the dots here. The Trump administration is looking into RICO charges against George Soros, which are like federal racketeering charges. You know, who's funding the violent crime and the violent protests in the streets? Who's funding these violent attacks on ICE agents, et cetera? But when Evelyn earlier was talking about all these, you know, 40 different Democrat front groups, environmental wacko groups who had all, you know, basically lobbied the Montana Public Service Commission to try to insert climate change into every single one of their decisions. Thankfully, it got rejected 5-0, unanimous rejection by all the PSC members. But that's another reminder that so many of these Democrat front groups that want to undermine the economy, things like keeping the lights on, are all funded by these George Soros types. So what about potential RICO charges for George Soros? We'll get to that in a second. But first, let's get to your phone calls. Nancy in Roundup, great to hear from you. What's on your mind this Monday?
Yeah, good morning, Montana Talks family. A couple of quick comments on South Korea and also China. Durham, North Carolina, had 400 illegal South Koreans working in a shop there, and they were discovered after a long-term investigation. And this is the best part of the story. South Korea actually apologized to the United States for this, and they sent a plane, a charter plane, and they picked all these people up. I believe it was yesterday, and brought them back to their country, and they said that this will never happen again. So, you know, I wish this is never going to happen, but as far as deportations, I believe that countries whose citizens entered our country illegally should be responsible for their fair home, but not. No, you're not going to get cooperation for Central or South America or Africa or anywhere else. Now, as far as China, we're talking about American jobs. Another company, and that is General Electric. They are coming back to the USA from China. They're going to resettle and establish themselves in the state of Kentucky. And, you know, this is good news because, you know, all the chinks are doing it. They're just stealing our technology.
Careful with some of the language.
When our companies go over there, they're stealing.
Yeah, just careful with some of the language there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But with regard to the communist Chinese,
well,
and,
you know what?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, this is what they're doing. So, it's a good thing that they're moving back, but it's, you know, it's really too late because they've already stole all the technology. They've got it in their heads.
Yeah, remember when Hollywood used to freak out at all the theft of their technology? But yet, who is one of the biggest industries to prop up the communist Chinese or just the cultural Marxists in America? Hollywood, right? Okay, Nancy, good to hear from you. Thanks for the phone call. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Yeah, and a couple of things that Nancy mentioned there reminded me of what the Border Patrol agent in charge for the Whitefish Station had to say on Friday at the Pachyderm Club in Kalispell. So I'm gonna hit more of those topics here coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show when our friends from KJJR and Kalispell join us on the program. But yeah, here we go back to it. You look at so many of these Democrat front groups, which you could also argue are front groups for the communist Chinese, because these climate alarmist groups, they never want to go after China. They never want to tell China to stop mining coal or burning coal for their coal-fired power plants. They only want to undermine American coal and coal-fired power plants and American energy. So you could argue that these Soros-style front groups aren't just, you know, front groups for the radical left in America, but they're front groups for the communist Chinese. So here's Peter Schweitzer from Sunday Morning Futures yesterday with Jason Chaffetz.
Yeah, of course, I'm not a lawyer, but I've spent a lot of time studying this. RICO is a statute was passed in 1970 to target organized crime and individuals who were financing and supporting criminal activity, because what was happening is they were arresting the guy on the street, but the guys that were behind it, that were organizing it and financing it, weren't getting arrested. So RICO was passed. It's been used in the past against the Aryan Nations. It's been used against white supremacists in Mississippi. The National Organization of Women tried unsuccessfully to use it against pro-life groups. And what it comes down to is this. George Soros on the left, Elon Musk on the right, completely have the right to finance political activities. The question becomes, if you are funding organizations that are engaging in criminal conduct, violent criminal conduct, think, for example, of the Los Angeles riots, some of the groups behind that. Think about the attacks on Tesla that have taken place. There was an attack down in Georgia in 2023 where they were throwing firebombs and attacking cops at a place called Cop City. The organizations behind that were funded by funding networks like the Tides Foundation and the Open Society Foundation, which George Soros, of course, funds. So the question is, if they are funding organizations that are known to engage in criminal violent conduct, could they be charged under RICO? And I think there is a precedent there, and I think it's something that ought to be looked at by prosecutors, because again, we want to have a very strong conversation in America about the future of our country. We do not want wealthy individuals funding violent protesters that are tearing down our cities and that are harming law enforcement officers.
By the way, you know, on that front, you know what's very interesting? When you look at these protests in Washington, D.C., in our nation's capital, I think they had a relatively big one over the weekend. Did you notice that it's pretty much all white people? Now, you might say, Aaron, why does that matter? Washington, D.C. is a predominantly black city. Who is being hit the hardest by the crime in Washington, D.C.? Black families, black neighborhoods. And so when Trump comes in to stop the crime in Washington, D.C., the black residents of D.C. are thanking him. They appreciate it. Go look at the video of this latest protest in Washington, D.C. It's practically all woke white liberals in a predominantly black city. They're the ones that are out there protesting against Trump. They're the ones that are out there protesting against the National Guard presence, against federal law enforcement presence, against the police. And how many of those groups that you think are funded by Soros and crew? All right, quick break. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app as well.
And now a message from McAfee.
Your package couldn't be delivered.
You owe thousands in unpaid tolls.
You want a free gift.
If texts like these sound familiar, McAfee can help. McAfee automatically identifies text and email scams as well as AI-generated audio to help you stay safe. If they're faking it, they're not making it past us. Get award-winning scam detection today. McAfee.com/keepitreal.
Fox News commentary.
Cheap Chinese fashion brand Shein had a big oopsie with one of their male model images. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week. Every week, we check in with Jimmy Failer, bring in authors for the book club, and even treat some of your favorite Fox personalities to a very special happy hour. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Kennedy Saves the World. America's listening to Fox News.
Chinese fast fashion brand Shein is under fire after a male model bearing an uncanny resemblance to accused murderer Luigi Mangione was spotted wearing one of their budget shirts on the site. Now, Shein quickly removed the image and launched an internal investigation, claiming an outside vendor supplied that photo. It remains unclear whether the image is actually Mangione or an AI rendering or just a disturbingly good look-alike. The company says it's tightening oversight to prevent anything like this from happening again, which is reassuring because No one wants to see O.J. Simpson or Brian Koberger modeling their next lead-scented romper. Bottom line is this. If they can't vet their models, how can we trust their products or the working conditions behind them? I say, tariff it all and tariff it fast. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
It's September 8th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Pediatric Hematology and Oncology Nurse Day. As part of Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, today is particularly special as it acknowledges those healthcare workers who act as caregivers, counselors, and nurturers for what will probably be the most frightening time for many kids and their families. Also on this date, in 1504, Michelangelo's Statue of David is unveiled in Florence, Italy. And in 1966,
space, the final frontier.
Captain Kirk, Mr. Spock, and the rest of the crew of the Starship Enterprise began their five-year mission to boldly go where no man has gone before as the classic sci-fi series Star Trek debuted on TV. If it's your birthday today, you share it with actor Peter Sellers, born in 1925. And country singer Patsy Cline, born in 1932. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily.
It's the law. When you see someone pulled over, slow down and move over. Sponsored by the Montana Department of Justice.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a lot to talk about here on this Monday morning of the show. The highlights from the Border Patrol agent in charge of the Whitefish Station. I'll get to that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, or maybe the 9 o'clock hour of the show. We'll see. And then Donald Trump Jr. weighing in with the thought that we all had over the weekend. Strangely, this is what Don Jr. writes on X a couple of hours ago. Strangely, all of the clowns with Ukraine flags in their bio, you know, on social media, you guys have seen it, they are all also silent on this one. So he shared a post on X by Liz Wheeler. George Floyd, how many mentions by the New York Times? 5,897. Trayvon Martin, how many mentions by the New York Times? 1,190. Kilmore Abrego Garcia, 56. Daniel Penny, 100. Zero stories about Irina Zarutska. Have you guys heard about Irina Zarutska? Don't feel bad if you haven't heard about her story, because the legacy media is ignoring this story completely. Basically, you had a career criminal back on the East Coast who's been let out time and time again by liberal prosecutors, a liberal so-called justice system, and now downplayed by a liberal mayor. This guy, a young woman, sits down in front of him on their L train, or on their train, their public transit. She's just got her headphones in. She's looking at her phone, listening to something, reading something. So all she does is sit down in that seat. And this guy, you can see him, he pulls out his switchblade knife, uses his hands to open up the knife, and then just starts stabbing her in the throat and murders her right there. Just like that. Well, this young woman is apparently, she fled Ukraine. She's a Ukrainian refugee who fled the war and the violence in Ukraine only to be slaughtered by a career criminal on the public transit of America. And yeah, they do not want to talk about that story at all. We will. Stand by. We'll take your phone calls as well. Okay, the other thing that we were talking about, Nancy and Roundup mentioned this as well, China bringing these illicit drugs into the United States of America. That's a big part of why President Trump and his team are going after this flow of drugs into the U.S. Here is more from Peter Schweitzer.
Yeah, and I think it's so important that President Trump is taking a strategic approach to the fentanyl crisis, because Joe Biden thought it was just a health care issue. The bottom line is this is a Chinese operation. The drug cartels are the junior partners. The precursor chemicals, as about everybody now knows, come from China, but they're offloaded at the port of Manzanillo in Mexico, which is run by a Chinese company. Those precursors are shipped up north, where the DEA says 2,000 Chinese chemists happened to be who turned this into the deadly cocktail of fentanyl. The drug cartels then use pill presses that the Chinese have sold to them at cost to produce these pills, which are killing so many Americans. And then the money laundering aspect of it. The drug cartels 20 years ago used banks in Latin America. They're now using state-owned banks. So this is a strategic initiative by China to punish and damage the United States. And I applaud the Trump administration, not just this operation to unwind part of the money laundering aspect and the nature of it, but also the Trump approach on tariffs.
All right, there you go. That was Peter Schweizer. By the way, speaking of drugs, you know, there's some people that they're thinking like there's a magic drug to lose weight. Well, there might be a drug to lose weight, but what else might you be losing in the process? Your muscle mass, the strength of your bones. You might be hammering your organs. That could be very dangerous. That's why, even if you are taking one of these GLP-1s, I would encourage you, get a hold of our friends at Billings Last Diet, because you might not have the hunger anymore, but you still need nutrition. You still need that ideal protein that they can deliver. You still need the nutritional support to make sure that your body's getting the basic nutrition that it needs. So whether you need to lose the weight and you want to do it without the drugs, or whether you're taking one of these GLP-1s and you want to lose the weight and stay healthy, get a hold of Billings Last Diet. BillingsLastDiet.com or call them at 294-6751.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals help fuel my love for acting. When people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.